وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى shower his choicest blessings on you. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba, and Radio Al-Ansar International. Discussing the previous ayah regarding وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a noble Quran, and the explanation of it is as follows, the blowing of the wind in all directions. The sixth sign mentioned in this verse is in the ordinance of the winds. There is a power of Allah is evident in the way He causes the winds to blow in various directions, sometimes even changing the course of some winds in the opposite direction. As Allah desires, so He causes the winds to blow. Should He desire them to blow in certain directions or at certain speeds, He can do so. These winds may be a form of punishment or mercy. Only Allah has the authority to manipulate these winds. No one else can change their direction, nor adjust their speed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Rum, and from His signs is that He sends the winds as carriers of glad tidings, so that He may allow you to taste of His mercy, and so that the ships sail by His order for you to gain from His bounty and show gratitude. Allah dispatched a wind to punish the nation of Ad. This frightening wind raged for 7 nights and 8 days and destroyed the entire nation. On the other hand, the wind served as an aid to Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. It would transport him a distance of a month's journey in a single morning or evening. During the Battle of the Trench, Allah sent a windstorm which forced the enemies of Islam to retreat. Their tents were blown away and their utensils overturned. Their faces were stung with the particles of flying sand. It was so severe and cold that it caused them to lose their senses and retreat. Allah makes reference to this in Surah Ahzab when He says, O people of belief, O people of Iman, call to mind Allah's favor upon you. When the army came to you and Allah dispatched over them a windstorm and an army which you could not see. Bukhari Sharif narrates a hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by virtue of the Sabah, I was rendered help with the nation of Ad who were destroyed with the Dabur. Sabah and Dabur are names for specific type of winds. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the wind brings mercy or punishment. When the wind blows, do not curse it, but rather ask Allah for the good that comes from it. and for protection from its evil. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reports that whenever a wind blew, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recite the following supplication: Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa khayra ma ursila bihi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma ursilat bihi. O Allah, I ask you for the good of this wind, the good which is the outcome of this wind, and the good which it brings. And I ask you for protection from the evil of this wind, the evil which is that is the outcome of this wind, and the evil which it brings along. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks with Sahabi al-Musakhar, the submission of the clouds, and the obedient clouds suspended between the heavens and the earth. This is the seventh sign mentioned wherein one may witness Allah's power. The clouds are suspended in mid-air, even though they are laden with water. When rain is pending, people begin preparing for it, whereas the clouds will only proceed to the destination specified by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah A'raf, it is He who sends the winds ahead of His mercy to make them happy. Then when the winds carry the heavy clouds, we lead them towards some dry piece of land, and where we send the rain down, extracting by its agency all types of fruit. In the same way, we will cause the dead to rise up so that you take heed. By means of the clouds, Allah shaded the Bani Israel in the valley of Tih. These clouds traveled wherever they went. It is only by the will of Allah that clouds are either heavy or light, or arrive at certain places. It is also commonly seen how at times they even disappear without sending any rain. The punishment of the people of Ad began with the sighting of a cloud. They did not receive any rain for some time, and having seen the cloud, they rejoiced, assuming it would bring rain. Because of the extreme heat at the time, they all emerged onto an open plain. Instead of rain, a severe windstorm arose, which completely destroyed them. Bukhari relates a hadith wherein Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would see a cloud or an approaching wind, its effect could be noticed on his face. I once asked him, Oh, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, people are always pleased to see the clouds, hoping for rain. Why do I detect concern on your face when you see the clouds? He replied, O Aisha, how can I be sure that you do not portend the punishment? A certain nation was punished by means of the same. When they saw a cloud approach, they said, this cloud will bring rain for us. Instead, it brought a grievous punishment for them. Another hadith reports Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is saying, whenever some clouds would appear in the sky, the face of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would change color. At times he would go out and then come in, or pace up and down. When the rain would finally come, only then would his state of restlessness disappear. All the factors mentioned in the verse clearly reflect the wonders of Allah and point to the fact that only He is the Creator. Even those who refute the unity of Allah would accept that only He is capable of such creation. They would accept that it is only He who could exercise control over all these phenomena. However, they do not admit His unity and continue to ascribe partners to Him. May Allah guide them all. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. There are some who ascribe partners to Allah, displaying such love for them as they should love Allah. However, the believers have a much greater love for Allah. If the oppressive ones were to see the punishment, they would realize that all power belongs only to Allah. And verily, Allah is capable of inflicting the severest chastisement. The love of the idolaters for the idols and the punishment for it. After explaining monotheism and Tawheed together with his proofs, Allah now discusses those people who ignore the oneness of Allah and ascribe partners to him. These people had created other gods who they considered equal to Allah. They worshipped them, took oaths in their names, and sacrificed animals for them. In this verse, Allah says, they display such love for them as they should love Allah. The author of Ruhul Ma'ani writes that the word love in this verse refers to reverence and obedience. It means that these people considered these false gods to be equal to Allah, showing such reverence and obedience to them as they should be showing to Allah. Allah mentions in this verse that they love them, the Arabic word whom, instead of saying that they love these, the Arabic word ha. By using a term which refers to living beings, Allah wishes to draw our attention to the fact that these people actually considered these gods to be living equals of Allah. Some commentators are of the opinion that the word partners, andada, refers to the leaders of the tribes and nations. This means that some people showed as much reverence and obedience to their leaders as they should actually show to Allah. The superlative love of the believers for Allah. However, the believers have a greater love for Allah. The believers' love for Allah is deep-rooted, firmly established and perfect. Their love does not decrease, and they never turn to another for assistance. Neither will they worship any other. Conversely, the idolaters turn to Allah when afflicted by any adversity. An example of this, as was mentioned previously, is when they are in danger while at sea. At this time, they forget all other gods and supplicate only to Allah for safety. This situation is also noted at other times of distress. At times, such people engage in the worship of a certain idol, whereafter they carve out another before which they place their foreheads. Ironically, it also happens that the idolaters make an idol out of sweets, then consume them when the need arises. On the occasion of Diwali, a Hindu religious festival, the idolaters of India built idols out of coarse sugar. Thereafter, these are sold and everyone gathered to eat them. If the oppressive ones here were to see the punishment, they would realize that all power belongs only to Allah, and verily Allah is capable of inflicting the severest chastisement. At this time, they will experience much regret, remorse, and shame. However, all this will be to no avail. Allama Baydawi rahmatullah alayh interprets the verse to mean, upon citing the punishment, if they come to know that all might and power only belongs to Allah, great remorse will overtake them. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh writes in his tafsir, if these people were to see in this very world what punishment will accrue to them as a result of their disbelief in idolatry, they would desist immediately. Allama Baydawi rahmatullah alayh quotes other commentators who say, should the idolaters come to know that their fabricated gods cannot benefit them whatsoever, they would realize that all power belongs only to Allah. None can give benefit nor harm besides Him. This has also been stated in Ruhul Ma'ani. How foolish it is of the idolaters that they create something with their own hands and then they turn in supplication, you know, to the very thing that they created with their own hands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from the evil of idolatry, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on sirat al-mustaqim. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen.